Well, hello there. Welcome to the Kingspiration podcast. I know that it's been a little while between drinks, but we're back here, or I'm back here. My name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors at King's Baptist Church. This is the Kingspiration podcast, and I have got a very special guest with me today. On this day, the 25th of September, it's a special day to me because on this day, 21 years ago, I was married to a lovely, lovely person. My best friend is here with me, Rochelle Bartlett. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Michael.
It's my absolute pleasure. How are you today?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Excellent. That's good to hear. How's your year been?
Well, isn't that a loaded question? It's been quite the year, hasn't it?
It has been. It has been quite the year. 2020. How would you describe 2020?
Well, I don't know if you have the bleeping mechanism, because there's all sorts of words I could use, but I'm going to refrain from some of them and just say that 2020 has been a different kind of year, full of all sorts of highs and lows and emotions. And, you know, I feel like today is a good day in 2020. Maybe better than some of the other days that have gone before, but you know, it's been a year.
Because it's our wedding anniversary today, I think what would probably be great is if you would, let people know what are the best things about being married to me.
Oh, where do I start?
I know.
I should have made a list. The best things about is this a real question?
It's sort of a real question, I guess. Okay. Maybe, but I realized in asking the question that I might regret it.
Well,
asking it, so
you can't take it back.
Well, so I can hit stop and we could start again.
But we've done that four times.
Yeah, this is take five. So,
the best things about being married to Michael Bartlett. Well, it's been 21 years of being married to you. And that's how old I was when I married you, 21 years.
Yeah, you were 21.
And you were 20, and we were but children, you might say.
I think we were actually children.
Well, I know that your mental capacity was that of a child. So yeah. I believe that you have come a long way.
Oh. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. That's really, really kind of you.
I think so.
Yeah.
I will say that being married to you has been a ride. It's been a roller coaster of sorts, ups and downs, and a few feeling like nauseous times where, you know, it's been a fun adventure so far. And I think yesterday was the best day of our marriage, because we had a good talk about the last 21 years, and it's been a long ride, but I feel like maybe 21 years in, we have learned a lot, and we have learned a lot about each other and about how we operate very differently at times.
Yeah, we had to talk about how different we are.
We did. And it's funny that it took us 21 years to really recognize how different we are. I think we always knew it, but we didn't have words for it. So yeah, being married to you has been, it's been really fun. I think, you know, we were young when we got married, and we did a lot of fun things. You know, we didn't have a lot of responsibility when we first got married, and we had all sorts of cool travel adventures and experiences. And then, you know, we had babies and life continued. And I think sometimes you get a little tied up in those things and you don't see, not the end, because it's great. All of it's been great. But I think a lot of the time you're just slogging through certain things, and then, you know, you reevaluate and you go, wow, we've learned a lot.
Mm.
That's a long, still not saying why I like being married to you.
No, I don't think you don't need to answer that. It was kind of a joke, so I think we'll just move on.
Yeah. Jokes are fun.
Yeah, they are fun. What are you doing with yourself these days?
Well, we are parenting three amazing, intelligent and diverse children.
That's true.
Which takes a lot. It's a lot of joy, but there's a lot of hard times. But currently I have gone back to university, and I am studying my counseling degree, which
You're
has been amazing.
You're doing a counseling degree.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why do you want to be a counselor?
Well, I think deep down I maybe always wanted to be a counselor, but I didn't realize that's what I wanted for many years. And then probably just in the last 2 years, I've realized that that's maybe where I've been called to all along. And maybe in a weird way, I've been doing some of that in my past careers and jobs. And I just thought, you know what? I need to learn how to do this in a real way. I need to learn the language and skills to actually do this as a career.
So you're doing counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And where are you studying?
I'm studying at Tabor.
Yeah. And what is the most interesting book that you've read this year? It doesn't necessarily have to have been part of your course, but no. It can be.
Wow. I feel like I'm not, all I do is read for study these days. So I don't get to, I love reading, and I haven't maybe read the books that I normally would choose, but I'm loving what I'm reading through study. And one of the books I'm reading is Grief Counseling and Grief Therapy by J. William Warden. And it is eye-opening and really great. It's a great textbook. So that's what I'm sort of right into right now.
So you are having a pretty focused look at grief.
Mm-hmm. Grief and trauma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is probably pretty poignant in the midst of this year.
Yeah, it is. And it's probably reflecting in the fact that I've cried in the last probably 4 lectures I've been in. And that's okay. Yeah. Because we're processing a lot of grief, I think, right now in this world without even maybe being aware that we're processing some grief.
Yeah. Like as in you and me, or?
Oh, no. Well, no. I don't think we're processing grief that I'm aware of. I just think in general the world is in a bit of a grief-stricken time.
Pickle?
A pickle. Bit of a pickle. Pandemic pickle. But yeah, so it's been an eye-opening book to be reading right now, and to be studying this course has been, yeah, pretty poignant.
Rochelle, what are people grieving in the midst of the pandemic?
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I will speak for myself. I don't think I realized until recently how much I was maybe grieving certain things. And there's such a myriad of things that I can't probably list them all. But I think what has become really like quite eye-opening for me recently is that, you know, here in Adelaide, we're pretty safe and secure in this COVID situation. But I think we're grieving like a loss of maybe freedom that we didn't realize that we were sort of losing. And in that, I just mean, I was talking to someone today and just, you know, some of the things that we've had to change, whether it's just, you know, sanitizing all the time or going in one way to the shop or not being able to go to a restaurant or these things. I know it seems small and little, but I think it has a very large impact on our mental health and that of our kids too, you know, with the uncertainty of what's going to happen in the next year and these kids in year 12 who can't have a formal or who can't, you know, I don't know, I guess just be in school the way they normally are. I think there's just this overlying sense of uncertainty and loss that we don't quite have words for yet.
Yeah. So, well, is it the loss of just what was?
It's a loss, I think, of what was, but it's also the uncertainty of the loss that will be going into the future.
Yeah. So you think that the uncertainty is just breeding an underlying anxiety?
Yes, yeah. I do.
Yeah. So what's helping you in the midst of these times? And because, you know, it's one, like you said, it's one thing for us in terms of the day-to-day here in Adelaide, South Australia, where we have been somewhat sheltered from the impact of the pandemic that we've seen in other parts of the world, but all of your family is in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's tough.
Yeah, because things have not been as easy there.
No, I mean, from what I can see, it's much more intense over there. But I think even just that knowledge that, you know, I can't hop on a plane quite so easily anymore and go back and visit them, which has been part of, I guess, I didn't even realize how much it was affecting me until recently when I was like, wow, I can't go there for Christmas. I can't, like, even if I could and wanted to, which I do, but I... Yeah, it's just a reality that we've never actually had to worry about before.
Yeah, we've never thought about anything like that.
No.
So in the midst of these times, these days, what What have you identified that helps you be hopeful and well?
Personally, let's see. I think that it's what's been good for me is gaining a sense of, this is going to sound strange maybe, but you know, like, it's important to be self-aware, right? To for me, I've just had to go, you know what, I don't actually feel great right now. I feel, if I stop and break it down, I feel pretty stressed and anxious at times. And so for me, it's been really important to recognize that in myself and then to take steps to alleviate some of that stress, whether that be go outside for a walk, take the dog for a run, whether that be listening to worship music or, you know, quiet times or just reading something that's inspiring. I don't know. Like, there's just, I think self-care has become a very big part of my life lately.
Mm. So you've got a little bit of a trek to uni, and you're a bit of a fan of podcasts.
Mm, yes.
Is there a podcast that's been a favorite this year?
Yes. There's been two, and it's funny because the first half of this year, I have at least a 45-minute drive to uni, depending on the traffic. And I was listening to a lot of crime podcasts for the first semester. And I was wondering why I kept having panic attacks and, like, anxiety.
Yeah.
And I realized it was probably not great to just listen, to stories about serial killers.
Mm.
I felt that that wasn't helping me. Took me a semester.
Can I ask, what was your fascination with these podcasts about crime? Because I understand that this is actually a huge genre of podcasts that a lot of people are into.
I know. I still want to listen to them all the time, and I don't anymore because I was...
It's very dark.
Very dark. Very dark and scary because, you know, I was just constantly pretty sure that there was a serial killer waiting to kill me. So it was a little dark. I was just fascinated with the mind of a serial killer, like what drives someone, but then also the grief of the families who are going through this horrific... Anyway, let's move on to the new podcast.
I
changed my podcast habits, and now I have listened to every single one of Brené Brown's Unlocking Us.
Brené Brown's Unlocking Us.
Yes. Just fantastic.
Brené Brown of the famous Vulnerability TED Talk.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And her podcast is very, it's very good. Very good. She's very smart, that woman. My gosh.
Yeah. What? So tell me, you know, I've listened to a couple of them as well. What was most enlightening?
I'm going to say that what hooked me in was just every guest, she sort of asks them, how are you doing? Like, in this crazy time, how are you doing? And it was just enlightening to hear that doesn't really matter what you do, who you are, how successful you are. Everyone is sort of going through a very similar thing at the moment. And I think it just made me feel a bit more normal to start with. And I think that's good. It's good to know that we're not alone and we're not, you know, we can reach out and other people will actually understand a lot of what you're going through. And then I also felt very inspired because a lot of the stuff she speaks about is about how to maybe rethink certain things and how to rejig your life. And it's not like self-help. There are some really great, I guess, just practical ways to enrich my life, I've learned. And it's also taught me even more about compassion and empathy for those around me. And I think it's a very inspiring podcast. Yeah.
The one that I listened to that I found myself laughing and also cringing a lot at was the one that she did an interview with people around apologies.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Do you remember that one?
Yes, I think her name was Harriet Lerner.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like a professional apologizer.
Yeah, well,
or something.
I think she teaches about apology. Yes. Or something like that. But,
yes. That was a fascinating two-part series, actually.
Yeah.
We talked about that a little bit, didn't we?
Yeah.
Because I don't think we've always been very good at apologizing. Well, that's not true. I've not been very good at apologizing. Have I?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'll, you know, maybe leave that discussion for another day. But maybe you want to tell me more about that.
About my... Wait, you just said you're going to leave it for another day and now you want me to talk about it?
Yeah, that's not really true. We could talk about it another day. I'm not going to give comment about whether we are good or not at apologizing. The thing that struck out to me in that podcast in particular was this idea that an apology, a real apology, mm-hmm. is a gift. Mm-hmm. Do you remember her saying that?
Yeah,
I do. Like in the midst of like a recognition that you've done a wrong and you offer an apology to people or to somebody for a wrong committed, then that apology is a gift. And it's actually wrong to expect any sort of particular response to an apology.
Yeah.
That really challenged me.
It did.
Because often in the midst of a marriage, when you offer an apology, you might have some sort of implicit expectation of the other person also offering an apology.
Yes.
But a real apology doesn't have an expectation either of acceptance or forgiveness. It's actually just a gift in and of itself.
Yeah. Sometimes to the apologizer, but also to the person who is receiving the apology. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no.
If I apologize to you, can we edit this out?
Well, yeah.
If I apologize to you, you can receive that apology, right?
Yeah.
But even my act of apologizing is kind of like a gift to myself.
Okay.
Wait, isn't that real?
I think so.
Because I think like I could hang on to things and I could stew on them and just be angry at you and be angry at myself.
Yeah.
But then I could also step up and apologize without expectation of you receiving it or of you in turn apologizing for something that maybe you didn't need to apologize for.
Yeah, there was this thing in there that she was talking about where it was like the best response to an apology is to be able to say thank you for your apology.
Thank you for that.
That sounds quite counterintuitive because Our default
would be, I forgive you, that's okay.
But maybe it's not okay.
But maybe it wasn't okay.
Or maybe it's not okay yet.
Yep. But to say thank you for that.
Yeah.
I accept that apology.
Yeah, thank you for that apology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I did like also how they spoke about teaching their children that if someone hurts you and then apologizes, you can just say thank you. I think we expect our kids to be like, oh, I forgive you, that's okay. But maybe it wasn't okay. So I think there's actually something in that, like, in that accepting of it, but not saying, but it's okay that you did that.
Yeah, but that's a bit different to sort of what we sometimes grow up with, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you know we're told sometimes by our parents, you know, after a fight, we need to say sorry for that.
Yeah, that's right.
But then, what's one of the things we say in our house about sorry?
I don't think I know where you're going with this. In our house?
Yeah.
Like in our home here?
One of the things we try and teach our kids. No, I'm really drawing blanks here. How about I just tell you? Remember sometimes we say sorry as a word?
Oh, yeah. We do say that.
Because that's all that sorry in and of itself is.
Yes.
Or it can be.
Yeah.
It can be just a word.
But it's more than that, isn't it?
Well.
Or we want it to be.
I think a real apology is more than a word.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think we've talked about apologies enough now.
Yeah.
Hey, have you watched any good movies?
I'm really hooked on a television show. Am I allowed to talk about the one
sure.
I love?
Go for it.
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah, Schitt's Creek. How is it spelt?
SCHITT S.
Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
Yep. And tell us about this show.
I tell you what. I think the best part about it for me is it's so Canadian and it's unapologetic. Yeah, speaking of apologies. But it is actually so great and it just, I think more than anything, it's hilarious and it's so full of like love between this family, even though they are fairly dysfunctional.
People watch Schitt's Creek, will they get a bit of a... window into the Canadian soul?
Some of it, but maybe, but I think if some people watch it, they'll just think I'm not a very good person, because it is a bit, it's a bit on the edge, some of it. It's not for everyone.
Okay.
It's not for everyone.
Okay.
But it is, it does give you a really funny look into like Canadian living, Canadian life.
It's small town Canadian life.
Small town.
Yeah.
Very.
What about other movies, documentaries, anything standing out of late?
I did watch The Social Dilemma, which was a heavy hitting. Maybe we won't get into that one today, but if you want to watch one that's going to make you think, The Social Dilemma is fascinating.
Well, I think it would be good at some stage to have, as a church community, some sort of roundtable about social media.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yes, and it was really good. It
was a social dilemma.
Yeah.
What about a movie other than a documentary?
Well, I think that we're just trying to introduce our kids to some of the movies that we grew up enjoying, and that has been really fun. And I've also really liked that maybe not all three children like it, but I can always count on Zach for enjoying our weird taste in movies as children. And he's always encouraging about how...
Nerdy. Gives a good laugh, doesn't
he? And so that's been fun. We've watched all sorts of old ones lately, which has been really fun. I won't name them all because some of them are a bit embarrassing, to be honest. But
what is it, perhaps, I won't sort of ask you to say your favorite movie.
Good, because I couldn't.
Could you say one of your favorite movies? In the top 10, just say one of the movies that would have to be in your top 10.
Crazy Stupid Love would have to be in my
top 10. Crazy Stupid Love?
Yes. Yeah, that's up there.
Why do you like that movie?
I think it hits close to home now that I'm middle-aged. And I think it's just cute and funny, and it does have Ryan Gosling in it, and he's always one of my favorites.
Why?
Have you seen him?
Well, you're saying he's easy on the eye?
I think so.
Mm.
You might not agree.
Well, I would say he's a good actor.
He is.
I think he's quite an amazing actor, actually. And probably the movie I think he was most amazing in was Blue Valentine.
Ooh, now there's a dark one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a hard movie to watch.
Very.
But I've always found your sort of like fascination, can I say attraction to Ryan Gosling a little bit odd. Because he just sort of, his eyes are very close
together.
Okay,
let's not talk mean about people.
I'm not talking mean. Mm. It's just an observation.
Okay. Your eyes are a bit close together. Maybe that's why I like Ryan Gosling.
Okay. Well, shall we leave that there?
Yes.
All right. What are you doing for fun at the moment?
Well, not much.
Really?
No, as in nothing specific. I think we have a lot of fun in general. What am I doing for fun at the moment?
We've done a lot of walking this year.
Man, we've walked a lot.
Done a lot of walking.
It's just been what we've done.
And a lot of hiking.
We've done a lot of hiking. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I love exercise.
No.
But it is important. So make sure you get out and walk.
But you have discovered, not discovered, I mean really sort of got into
Knitting?
Gardening.
Oh, gardening. I don't knit.
In a big way.
I have gotten into gardening in a
into
big way.
Into sort of just like homekeeping. And
chicken herding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not hurting, herding. I heard them.
Herd the chickens.
Herding the chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. I think...
How many chickens do you have?
Well, I have four.
Yeah.
Two passed away.
Yeah.
I did have to actually try to nurse one back to health, but that didn't happen.
What happened?
I believe she was egg-bound, poor Doris. Mm. Yeah, and she did... pass away. It was very hard for everyone. But I think COVID, to be honest, when we thought we were going into lockdown here, I was quietly very excited because I thought I can just grow my food and collect my eggs and I will just be the little sweet Mennonite that I was always meant to be. And then we were allowed to go back to school and stuff, which I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I got really into it then. Yeah.
Mm.
Got lots of beautiful plants growing.
I just spent a couple of days this week with a bunch of other pastors churches.
Mm.
Yeah, and they to a person talked about how their whole communities as well as themselves are struggling with feelings of just tiredness and exhaustion.
Yeah,
even though and people have said they don't really understand why they're feeling so tired.
Mm.
Do you have any insight about that?
Do you feel tired at the moment?
some days.
Mm. I do have some days where I'm like ready to go to bed at 7:30. Exhaustion. I think that, well, again, from personal experience, I feel like my exhaustion comes from just the fact that we are all just a little bit high strung at the moment. There's a bit of anxiety, a bit of stress, and I just feel like that depletes a person. And then sometimes it just doesn't make sense either. It's like, why am I so tired? And it really can be just such a subconscious thing, I think. I know that I have been more tired than ever lately. I'm also, like I said, middle-aged now. And so I think that...
You still look like you're 20.
Oh, you. But yeah, I think that... I think collectively... I think we are just a little bit tired at the moment. Mm. You know what? We're so bombarded with everything at the moment. We are just, whether it's, you know, bad news coming out from the US, whether it's pandemic talk, whether...
Do you think that we listen to too much news?
I know that I listen to too much news.
Well, if you listen to too much news, what do I do?
You listen to all the news.
I have a...
It's bad, man. You need to stop.
I think I should stop.
I actually quit checking one of the news websites that I've checked a lot. I just had to stop.
Yeah, I don't think that's a news website.
I stopped looking at it, though.
It's more like a tabloid magazine on the internet.
But is it?
I think so.
Okay, well, maybe... Well, anyway, I've quit looking at it, so...
I mean, you do you, you know?
I think that we do... I mean, it's good to be aware of things. That's important, to not be oblivious, but surely there's got to be too much.
Hey, Rochelle, you are married to me.
Mm-hmm. We're going back to this question.
No, this isn't about me. It's about, I guess it is, in as much as me saying that you're married to me and I happen to be a pastor of a church. So a big part of our life revolves around the rhythms of being part of a faith community. What's been good about being part of a faith community this year?
It's been a weird year with church and stuff, I guess. But I think what's been really great is, even though we haven't been able to always be at church or be together weekly, I know that I've got a support network that I may not think of straight away. But when I get, you know, when I've gotten a bit low or a bit sad or a bit overwhelmed, there's a group of people there that I know that I could call on, that I know that love my kids, support my kids, love you, love me, support us. And I think that's been really, really important. I think we underestimate how important a community is until, you know, like we've said, you're depleted, you're anxious, and then all of a sudden you go, wait, I feel alone. And then I feel like I've had that community to sort of pick me up at times. And I hope that we do that for others around us. I think there's a great sense of love and care within that community.
That's good. And obviously our faith community, we hope, revolves around Jesus.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Jesus at all?
We weren't going to name drop at all. I'm just joking.
I think it's okay to name drop.
Talk about Jesus. Oh my gosh, where would you start? I think that my view on Jesus has changed so much growing up and even in the last few years, and just recognizing him as so much more accepting, grace-filled, present than I ever have really realized. In the, you know, even when I'm not aware of it, I am, I guess, quietly thinking about him at times, or talking to him when I just haven't even, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but what I will say is I feel like my faith life, my religious life may not be that great, as in I'm not great at the religiosity of things. Like, I've got to be honest, I am not consistent with my quiet time or all that stuff. But what I do know is that Jesus is a pretty constant part of my life. And I think I think is becoming more constant as I move through, you know, the next phases of our children's age and just all that's going on and study and marriage. I just think that, yeah, he's become more of an ever presence within my life.
How do you experience his presence?
I experience his presence in music.
Yeah.
In outdoors, in nature, and in my kids. Does that make sense?
In their person?
In just being with them. It's when I feel, when I'm with them, I feel peace. I feel like this, you know, when you have those moments of like, this is right now, this feels quite perfect. And then I just realize, wow, what a gift. What a gift from God. I don't know. That sounds so cheesy, but it's...
I don't think so. I mean, especially in terms of we've had this teaching series based on practice, and we understand that we actually experience being formed by God in the midst of community. And that community, you know, the chief place that we experience community is surely in the midst of our own families first and foremost, or hopefully it is anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and if we say that we experience the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit, then I think it's easy to understand that, well, to me it is anyway, easy to understand the presence of the Spirit as being quite present in the midst of our relationships.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does.
I mean, it does to me.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. That's really interesting. This is just a short podcast today. I'm doing sort of half lengths because I figure that maybe once in a while we'll have these chats. We'll just talk about things. So this is part one of Mike and Rochelle's Kingspiration podcasts.
Wow.
Yeah. But at the end of each podcast, I have asked the participants, I'm not sure if you've listened to them. I know it's hard to get between your true crime and Brené. I'm not sure if the Kingspiration podcast
it is definitely is up on my top 10. It's definitely in my top 10.
What else is there up there? I mean, I imagine you probably listened to Joe Rogan.
I don't. No. I have not listened to Joe Rogan.
Russell Brand.
I have a bit to Russell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I got distracted there. But anyway, I asked the participants to, you know, feel free to ask me a question or two.
Jeez.
Do you want to ask any questions?
What are we doing tonight for our anniversary?
Yeah, I think we're going to go to a very reputable establishment of cuisine that offers cuisine of a certain sort.
Yes, I'm excited. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
It's not what you'd call highbrow.
No, I believe I once saw a rat.
No, you didn't.
I'm kidding.
No, you didn't. Shall we name it?
No.
No.
Because I don't want it to get too popular.
No, that's true. It's already popular enough.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go to another establishment.
Where, yes. Okay.
And this is the place that you're very fond of.
Yeah.
And it involves singing.
Yes.
Yeah. And the establishment's name is hidden in what I just described was the action that we'll do.
Yeah. Singing.
Yes. So that was a good question. Is that the only question you want to ask?
I think it is right now.
Okay.
Because I feel like we'll save the big hard-hitting questions for next time.
Maybe next time you can do the interviewing.
Oh, yes. That sounds great.
And I'll do all the talking. But that's all I ever do, isn't it?
I know. You could just answer with one words. One word. One word answers. Yes and no questions. We'll keep it simple.
Here's a few quick fire questions for you. You have to answer really quickly. Okay. Oh, no. Favorite AFL footballer?
Tom Duday. Except I can never say his last name.
Excellent.
Your rapid fire questions are not very rapid.
What is something that people misunderstand about you?
People always think I am an extrovert. I'm not.
You're not?
I'm an introverted extrovert.
Okay.
Yeah. I love being at home, and that's where I get my, like, I fill my tank when I'm at home.
Right.
Yeah.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, absolutely. What's the one where you can, like, transport yourself? Teleporting. Teleporting.
Yeah.
Because I would just be like, Mom, I'm coming for coffee. Boom. Right. There I am.
Excellent.
Mm.
What is an instrument that you'd like to be able to play that you can't?
Oh, guitar. Yeah. I'm very uncoordinated.
Mm. I don't think that's necessarily true.
What, for me or for guitar playing abilities? Because I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's something that's on your bucket list?
Oh, I really, just really want to go to Greece one day. Yeah.
But with me?
I mean, either or. No. Yes. With you would be fun. I just wonder if we'll ever get there.
Yeah. Hard to know.
Hard to know.
Yeah.
But I've wanted to go there ever since I watched one of your favorite movies, which is... What's your favorite movie? See if I've got it right. Oh, you better get this right.
Yeah, I know. I know that you're going... You're thinking that my favorite movie is The Bourne Identity.
Yes. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. It's my favorite action movie.
Oh, well, I wasn't being specific on genre.
No. It is a great movie, though.
Yeah.
Why is it that even when we own movies, we sometimes they're on TV with ads and we still watch parts of them?
Because I think we miss the olden days when we watched a movie or a show on TV and it was a commercial break and you knew you could just quickly run to the kitchen, make a snack, and be back in time for the show to start again. Mm. And I think there's something fun and novel in that.
Mm.
Now everything's just click, here we
when
go.
When you want it.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I just remember, like, watching Tom and Jerry, and I knew I had, like 40 seconds. Yeah.
Mm.
40 seconds to go run upstairs, grab a Kraft single slice and run back down.
Plastic cheese.
Plastic cheese. Wow. That was my jam.
Well, I think that we'll sign off. Yes. So right now you have to say what your tagline would be right now. If you would like to leave people with a tagline... Let's pretend that every interaction, instead of saying goodbye to people, you left them with some words you wanted them to remember. What would it be?
Keep it sleazy. I'm kidding.
That was genuinely surprising.
Well, I just actually totally stole that from The Good Place.
Oh, The Good Place.
Yeah. So should we leave it at that, or do you really want a tagline?
Hmm.
I don't know. I think I might start using that one, actually.
Keep it sleazy?
Yep. I don't know if I think I don't know if that's from The Good Place. I think I maybe just made that up.
But do you really want people to keep things sleazy?
Not at all.
Or maybe you do.
No, I really don't.
Just I'm gonna
keep it classy. Maybe I should say keep it classy.
Maybe you don't need a tagline.
Just delete this part. I don't like that part.
Yeah, we might delete that part. Maybe we won't, because I think it's kind of funny.
No, I don't think so. But okay, you do you. Because it's your podcast.
Well, it's not really mine.
No.
It's
what would your tagline be? Because this is now, we're ending it now, so you need to give your podcast.
My tagline is what it always is, and that is...
Grace and peace.
Grace and peace.
Oh, yes, called it.
I didn't like how you just sort of made fun of it.
No, I was just saying it before you said it.
Because it felt like you were just mocking me.
Oh.
And I took my tagline from the Apostle Paul, and so now you're giving Paul a hard time.
I took mine from Ted Danson.
Apostle Paul, Ted Danson.
They're both the same age. Oh, just please delete this. Let's start again.
I'm not deleting this. Hey, you all have a good day and a good weekend, and we'll have a good anniversary. Jeez. Won't we?
Yes.
Okay.
For sure.
This has entered that realm now where Rochelle really wants me to finish this, and so I'm going to go before I get into any more trouble. Grace and peace, my friends.
Mm-hmm.